We read together this morning from the book of Exodus and from the 18th chapter. Exodus chapter 18. We read from verse 1 to verse 12. If there is a pew Bible anywhere nearby, then please take it up and follow the reading with us. Exodus chapter 18 from verse 1 to verse 12. The Israelites are still in the wilderness, not yet having reached Sinai, not yet having received from God the Ten Commandments. They are only fresh out of Egypt. We read these words. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, I have become an alien in a foreign land. And the other one was named Eleazar, for he said, my father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the desert, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other, and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hands of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. So Exodus chapter 18 and this meeting in the desert between Jethro and Moses. Moses, who must have sent Zipporah, his wife, and their two children to go and stay in safety with Jethro, whilst Moses and Aaron went back to Egypt to be used by God to bring the people out. It's a bit like a game of consequences. There's this person met that person in the whatever they met in, and he said, and then he said, and the consequence was Moses met Jethro in the wilderness. Moses said, Jethro said, and the consequence was. Before we look, though, at what Moses said to Jethro, there's just one brief comment. Moses had gone from the obscurity and the anonymity of the desert, where he had fled as a failure, where he was a simple herdsman, to become a leader of a new nation, a confronter of a Pharaoh, a man with fame and power and importance, a man who had experienced deep, deep fellowship with God. But for all that, he shows proper respect to his father-in-law. As one commentator said, religion does not destroy good manners. For all that Moses had received and become, he still treated his father-in-law well and did right by him. Religion does not destroy good manners, even in domestic relationships. To be a good Christian is to be a good husband and father, wife, mother, son or daughter. And if our Christianity does not make a difference there, then we have to ask whether or not it's real. So Moses said to Jethro, the report of what God had done. These things are found in, particularly in verse 8 of the passage. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. The deliverance from Egypt, that great exodus, when God led the people out, and when they were about to be overtaken by the pursuing Egyptians, the way that God had led them through the Red Sea and saved them from their enemies, the deliverance that they had received, and the guidance by which God had led them through the desert thus far, not by an easy route, no. Through many hardships already, yet a route by which they were learning of God's faithfulness and God's grace, a route along which they were guided by the ever-faithful presence of God, that cloud that was with them during the day and that fire that was guiding them and lighting their way by night. And how the Lord had saved them, how when they had met obstacles and hardships, the Lord had not withdrawn from them. How even when they had grumbled against him and distrusted him, he still provided for them. He still gave them his salvation in the midst of their need and of their difficulties. These things that Moses shared with his father-in-law Jethro. Moses was, if you like, musing about God. He was talking about what had happened to him and to his people. God had done great things. And Moses is passing it on to his father-in-law. Now there is immediately something that we have to learn and something that we can ask ourselves about right there. No one likes to have religion pushed down their throat. And consequently none of us like to push religion down anybody's throat. Some things that pass for witnessing and sharing testimony can be little more than showing off and kind of religious exhibitionism, or simply saying the things that we expect other religious people want us to say. No one likes to have religion pushed down their throat. But I suspect that's not the danger and that's not the extreme that we face. As a church and as a denomination, perhaps the danger that we face is of having gone to the opposite extreme. The danger of having allowed our natural reticence and shyness to stifle and silence any talk of God in our homes, at our places of work, and yes, even in our church. Can we really leave God completely out of our conversation? If he is real to us, is it honest to do so? Is it right for us to give way to our shyness? Is it right for us to allow fear of embarrassment or ridicule to rule the roost? Is it right for us to allow even our own cultural silence and privacy? And that's just as much a feature of Yorkshire life as it is of Scottish life. To mean that God, yes, he may be the unseen guest at every meal, but we'll also do our best to hide him from every other area of our family lives. Even within the church, we pull back from sharing our faith and our walk with God with one another. We'll often talk about anything else other than the main thing that we actually have in common as the people of God gathered together in God's house to worship him and to be equipped by him to go back out in the world to live for him. We might shrink back. And yet, how often it is that what can make the difference for somebody who is perhaps lonely, who is fearful, who feels a stranger in our midst, what makes the difference for somebody who is grieving, who is worried and perplexed, is that another believer has quite simply and unpretentiously and naturally said something about how God has helped them. And that can make all the difference in the world. And it made an immense difference to Jethro, as we see in the following verses. Moses has shared with him what God has done for Moses and the people. What does Jethro do? Does he recoil with embarrassed shock and horror that Moses had dared to mention the name of the Lord in his presence? No. He is delighted. He expresses his delight for God's people. He's pleased for them. He's naturally and spontaneously happy for them that God has blessed them in these ways and has been their God. But he doesn't just delight for God's people, he praises the people's God. Jethro's tongue and mind and heart are turned by that conversation upwards to God in praise and thanksgiving. And perhaps most significantly, we read in verse 11, Jethro's own faith is confirmed. Now I know, he said, that the Lord is greater than all other gods. Now I know. Before Jethro may have suspected, before he spoke with Moses that day in the wilderness, Jethro may have had a hunch that there was something in this worship of Jehovah that Moses had been going on about ever since that day when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush. Perhaps Jethro had had that inkling that, yes, there is really something in this. And now he knows. His own faith, searching, seeking, suspecting, having a hunch, wanting perhaps to know a little bit more, for that's what we read in the first two verses. Wanting perhaps to have what was vague become clearer, what was a cloud become more visible. What was difficult to get his grasp on to become firm and holdable. Jethro has his faith confirmed through the simple testimony of Moses. Simply through Moses saying what was in a sense the most obvious thing for Moses to be talking about. For Moses simply saying what God had done. Not through Moses saying, see what a wonderful faith I have, Jethro. Not through Moses saying, see what a miserable sinner you are, Jethro. But through Moses simply sharing with his father-in-law in the tent what God had done. And it made all the difference for Jethro. It changed him. Pass it on. Moses' testimony made the difference for Jethro. And all the way through the Bible, we see people simply sharing with somebody else what God has done for them, and it makes all the difference. Indeed, there is a sense in which when we read the Bible, we have to start thinking that things happen to us precisely so that we can pass them on to other people and not bottle them up for ourselves and not privatize our religion. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, the church which was riddled with problems, a church which was far from perfect in its fellowship, and yet a church that had a vibrant and real faith, says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we have received from God. And Paul goes on to say how he had been led through hardships so that he could experience himself the same kind of deliverance, the same kind of guidance, the same kind of salvation that Moses was talking about, and had been led through all that precisely so that he could pass it on, so that he could share it with other churches, with other Christians, so that their hearts might be turned to God in praise, so that they might be confirmed in their faith, so that their faith might become that bit more real, that bit more a part of their everyday life. And what was the outcome of the fellowship? The consequence was that there were sacrifices of praise and honor there in the wilderness, and there was a fellowship meal shared with many others who were brought into that tent to share in the fellowship that Moses and Jethro were enjoying together. It was more than just a social meal. It wasn't just having a feast together. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. It was real fellowship. That's what makes the difference between mere social gathering and real Christian fellowship. It is the presence of God. It is the Godward direction in which our thoughts go. And it was commendable of Moses and Jethro and Aaron and all the others to have that meal of bread together before God, but it was also, was it not, praiseworthy of God, who in all his grace made himself present with the people. To eat bread in the presence of God tells us perhaps more about God than it does about the people, for God did not withhold himself from them. God wasn't hiding himself away off in heaven. He made himself present, shared in their company and their companionship, transformed their eating together, was the basis of their fellowship together. What do we learn from a passage like this? What is there that we can take away and that we can apply to our own lives? Well, it's simply this, that we too must pass it on. Private Christianity is not real Christianity. Were the apostles and were the members of the early church silent about what God had done for them? No. Were the leaders of the Reformation silent about what God has done for us in Christ and what God had done for them? No. Were our parents and those who taught us the faith, those who have gone before, who have in some way been used by God to make us present here today, were they silent about their faith? Were they silent about what God had done for them? No. Was our Lord Jesus Christ silent about his Father? About his real fellowship with his Father? No. It has never been a part of Christianity to keep religion so private and so much my own business that Christ and all that he has done for us is excluded from our conversations as a family. Christ is hidden from our children. Christ, whom we have in common, is neglected and ignored. And it has always been to the good of the church to share faith one with another, so so that we might all be built up in our faith. We must share it. We must pass it on. We must gossip the gospel for the sake of those who are in need of the good news of God's love for them, and for the glory of God, who is praised because of it. Now, it is not at all inappropriate that we should come across this passage on this particular morning. Have we not all met together here in this particular wilderness tent? For this place is not our home. We're just a passing through. We're on our way to a greater destiny that God has for us. We meet together in this wilderness tent. We share together in hymns, in prayers from the Word of God, what God has done for us in Christ. And we praise God. Like Moses, we think together of all that the Lord has done to deliver us from our sin and from our guilt. We sing about and we say in prayers and we listen to the Word that speaks to us about all that God has done in guiding us and helping us. And we share together about how the Lord has saved us. Saved us, yes, from our sins. Saved us from our perplexities and our worries. Has been our God in the midst of our grief and our anxieties. The God who has brought us his salvation at such cost to himself. And are we not about to eat bread together in the presence of the Lord, and in so doing proclaim to one another the death of Christ for us? Pass it on. Share the gospel. Gossip it. News about what God has done for you. And you will find that far from being embarrassed and far from being ridiculed, you will be used by God for the blessing of others and to his praise and glory. Amen.